In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have different contexts for which we use the words crunch time. It could be as simple as those last moments of the afternoon hours that will determine whether or not supper is on the table at the time desired. It could also be that big putt at the end of a round that if you make it, you won't owe the guys you're playing with all the things that you've lost over the course of that afternoon. Or perhaps it's that stretch of time between Black Friday and the end of the calendar year when the store or the company or your own business will find out whether there's going to be a good enough return on the year's investment in all that you do to see that everybody gets their Christmas bonus. Or it could certainly also be in the coming weeks that moment that occurs every spring where anybody that's paying attention realizes I've got just a couple of days here to be able to get that seed in the ground for the best results, or flip it over to the fall and realize if I'm not on my toes and keeping track of things, I'm not going to get the best of all the harvest available to me because some of it will rot in the ground before I even get a chance to make use of it. There may be truly as many different ways to use the term crunch time as there are people in this room this morning. But clearly, what we all mean is a moment which is critical to success or failure for whatever is being endeavored. But there is a common crunch time that every single one of us experiences on a regular basis that the writer to the letter of the Hebrews places in the middle of our devotional time together on this first Sunday of Lent. As I said earlier, the Sundays of Lent really focus more on the battles of Jesus against every one of our enemies, all the things that human beings struggle to overcome on a daily basis. And this first Sunday of Lent is all about temptation. And every single one of us knows the awful realities, the struggles that we go through every single day if we're going to use the word crunch time to refer to the critical moments in our daily experience of the big temptation. We see Jesus experiencing them in detail in the gospel lesson. And it's clear, when we're talking about the big temptation, we're not talking about venturing off the diet or not following the budget for a few days, because that also can have its consequences. But that's not what we're talking about here. Today, in this discussion, we're talking about those moments that happen more often than we would like to admit, where in the crosshairs of what's going on in our lives between ourselves and the devil and ourselves and the world in which we live and even the sinful nature that lives inside of every one of us is the temptation to be involved in those things that clearly, without any doubt, are defined in the Scriptures as things God has labeled as sin, things that violate His will, things that do not meet His expectations. So let's take a look at why the author of the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, believes that you and I should face such formidable crunch time moments with confidence. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Have you ever given much thought to whether you prefer to have a sympathizer or an empathizer ready at your right elbow in any big moment of challenge? Any crisis? The essential difference is having someone who is sincerely interested in you, who desires to be of assistance with you and do what's necessary to help you in that moment, a sympathizer, or someone who has all of those attributes plus has also been through exactly what you're going through in that moment, has experienced it to its full depths, and knows exactly what you're up against. I know, personally, I would choose the empathizer over the sympathizer pretty much every single time. And these verses tell us that the most important empathizer ever available to any of us would absolutely have to be Jesus, our great high priest. And the manner in which Hebrews chapter 4 presents Jesus to us should really turn our heads. If we know what a high priest is in the bigger discussion of Hebrews, we recognize he's being presented to us as the one who makes the ultimate sacrifice of himself for the sins of the world, and also is the one who is willing to intercede for us, representing us before the throne of God. The average Old Testament high priest had to have struggled greatly to have a feel for, an understanding of the daily life of the average person on the street. It just wasn't something he would ever experience. The Old Testament high priest, everything about his existence was cultivated and curated very carefully from the moment of his birth until the moment that he was ordained as the high priest of Israel. The rules were very clear. He had to be the next in line, the next oldest descendant, male relative of the previous high priest. He had to be someone who never had a broken bone in his whole life. He had to be someone who was absolutely unchallenged in intellectual ability or physical health, so no big-time illnesses in childhood that affected the rest of his life, none of that. You can imagine just how insulated and carefully watched anybody who was in that line of succession would be every moment of their lives until they assumed the position. And then, once they were involved in the priesthood, they were set apart for such special activities and were kept so busy on a daily basis from sunrise to sunset, they didn't have time to spend elbow to elbow with the working man out in the field or in the shop, or to be present in the moments that life really turns challenging for anybody else. Even if he had a heart of a sympathizer, the average Old Testament high priest could never be an empathizer. Jesus, on the other hand, was the great high priest. First of all, because he came to sacrifice himself for the sins of the world and personally intercede for his brothers and sisters, every believing human being for time and far into eternity. And we see in the life, the work, the attitudes of Jesus, how completely invested he was in experiencing every element of our human predicament. And what may surprise us in these verses is we're told that that experience wasn't just a physical experience. That the moments such as when the devil came to him with the things that we see in the gospel lesson today, that we know are just a tiny little snapshot of the intense and daily, almost perpetual combat that Jesus was doing with Satan, was clearly a physical and intellectual challenge. We're also told in these verses and others about Jesus' experience clearly that it had a deep spiritual element to it as well. Over the course of his journey from conception to voluntary death as our great high priest, who would offer himself and his life as the final sacrifice, we know that Jesus chose to experience every single temptation that is possible to every single human being who has ever lived. So as you make your way through life, from your childhood to your senior years, and you recognize over the course of the trajectory of your life the difference from day to day regarding what temptations you most battle, whether they're physical temptations, whether they're intellectual, emotional, mental health type challenges, to you name it, how different it is as the eras of our lives ebb and flow. Every single temptation is represented fully in the way that Jesus experienced his humanity. And yet, he never gave in a single time. He never committed any sin. Recognize that we're being assured here that we're talking about thought, word, attitude, and action, the full spectrum of possibility of how we might fail God. Jesus never gave in once. And yet, as we live out our lives and we're questioned by others who are concerned about us how and why we gave in to any given temptation, we're so often tempted to try to defend ourselves by saying, if you only understood. If you only realized all the ingredients that came together in that moment that made it so overwhelming. And we try to present to the world this idea that nobody else that's never walked in my shoes could understand how extreme that moment was for me as to why I gave in. In fact, we kind of, by our defense, imply that anybody else walking in my shoes would have given in long before I did. And maybe we even play the hero card. Aren't you impressed with how long I was able to hold out before I eventually did give in? We're not left with any room of any kind for such thoughts in these verses. There are no excuses, there are no explanations offered, because there is no need for a single one of them. Jesus faced every temptation that we have faced or will ever face. He never gave in. He remained sinless. From his cross, he gives us righteousness, the perfection that he had earned through his living obediently and dying voluntarily, as the reality we need to cover us from our sins so that we are acceptable in God's sight. But from that cross, he also gives us a direct access to his power over temptation and sin as well. And especially at crunch time when it means that we really are understanding that we're not up to the task of the moment on our own without Jesus being there to stand beside us as our great high priest, our empathizer who knows exactly what we're going through and can offer us his power over our temptation. One of the fiercest temptations we face, probably every single day for many of us, is that very satanic deception that you and I are not worthy, that we're just too sinful to be worthy of the, how is it said here, the mercy and finding grace in our moments of biggest need. These verses tell us that Jesus has that covered. He is the great empathizer who stands next to us in every such moment and offers us his victory over temptation as our own. We don't have to rely on ourselves. We don't have to rely on anybody else around us. Only on him. He has ascended back to heaven, still wearing that human nature that he took upon himself in the womb of Mary. He's sitting on heaven's throne because he made it through the gauntlet of temptation and sin flawlessly. To undo everything that our first human parents brought about through their violation of God's will, bringing that curse of temptation that when they first experienced it in full that day, they gave in. In order to overcome all of this, the God who made us, he became one of us in every way, entered into his creation to do a whole lot more than just sympathize with us. Rather, he empathized by experiencing everything we experience in every way while still remaining sinless. So you and I are invited to stand before the throne of God confident and comfortable, not only in our righteousness, because it's Jesus' righteousness that's placed upon us as a robe, but also to look temptation in the eye. We can do that because he is one of us. In every way, one of us at the same time being truly God in every way. It sounds too good to be true. It sounds also so very complicated to understand and explain how it could all happen, and yet these verses are so simple, they're so clear, and they're so powerful that they're easy to understand. You and I have every reason to be confident at crunch time. Jesus' victory is our victory. Jesus' power over temptation is always fully available to us, every one of us, to rely on and find victory in our crunch time up against temptation. And when we fail, because we will fail, because we will always turn back toward ourselves with hope that this time this one's a little temptation, or this one might be a little bit bigger, but now I'm strong enough to handle it myself. Whenever we venture there and fail again, we can also be equally confident that that sin too is covered in the blood of Jesus. We never lose our access to the great high priest who continues to empathize with us. He wants us to confess with confidence that he will cover every one of those sins just as certainly as he has fully paid for every other sin we've ever committed, because that is who he is. That is why he made himself our brother. That is why he wrestled with sin on a daily basis in every way that we do. When you think about it, as you let the power of these simple words just wash over you again and again, there really isn't any reason to not be confident at crunch time. Amen. Please stand. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.